Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, welcome to Guts Church. I'm Bill Shear, and wow, what a great time to be alive today, isn't it? Hey, can I tell you, you were born for a time such as this. This is where, man, the world needs you. You feel me? Man, the world needs a strong church. America needs a strong church. The world needs a strong America, and I believe the way the church goes, so the country goes. And man, let's just keep getting stronger. I've got a poignant, I believe, now word for you. I'm Bill Shear, by the way. You guys didn't know. I work here. And but the Lord gave me three words last summer, and it was essentially just kind of laid it out, and it wasn't awkward, but it was different than normal. You know, the preachers, just to let you know that preachers are visionaries, and we've got to cast vision every year. You got a vision for the coming year, and that's what it was last summer. And as it began to develop me, those three words, I mean, they even were ordered. It was like in a cadence, and really that's simple. I know that our destiny and our purpose is always in the vision of our lives, but in this, we've got to understand that man, abundance is where God wants us to live. And the way we get to abundance is that God delivers us. And his deliverance is in our life. So these three words that God gave me, you guys know what they are? Revival, deliverance, and abundance. I'll tell you, if for nothing else, everything that's happened in our society is just stirring things up, just keeping things stirred. Well, let me tell you, I believe when we stir things up, the cream rises to the top. And that brings revival into our lives, into our homes, into our church, into our community, into our country. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says, look, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Man, I'll tell you, oh my goodness, the multi-billion dollar question is, God, how do you bring healing? And it's like, he gives us a step-by-step, easily chewable, bite-sized pieces to say, look, if I'm called by his name, meaning I'm standing on his promises, I'm standing on his word, I'm trusting him. And then if we humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, I mean, it's like, it's that simple. I realize through all of the conversation, and I appreciate all the conversation that we've had in the last few weeks as a church. And I just honestly, you hear people's voices, and you have to realize you have a voice. See, God gives us a voice. Do you understand that we weren't a people, and now we're his people? See, we went from nothing to everything in one step. We once weren't a people, now we're his people. It's like, well, what do you got going for you? Oh, I'm his people. These are my people because we're his people. And see, and that's how we look at it. And we're here, it's revival, deliverance, abundance. Today, I want to talk to you about deliverance again. I did it 3 weeks ago, and we're rotating them. And the idea of this is that God brings, he's, write this down. God's our deliverer. And he's named as the deliverer, meaning he delivers his promise as we ask, and he delivers us from all kinds of evil. He gives us an avenue of escape no matter what. And see, we've got to understand that no matter where we are in our lives. See, from the very beginning as a Christian, I'll just tell you, I had kind of this knowing in my knower that I realized early that I had a knower now in my life. something on the inside of me where it's like, I've always known the difference between good and bad and right and wrong and all that. But now, man, I know where God is. I know God's voice. I've got to know her. And when God saved my life and filled me with his Spirit, boom, what came into play is I've got to know her now and can recognize God, can hear his voice. See, so early on as a brand new Christian, I'm with a bunch of other Christians, but things happen. And one of my roommates here from 40 years ago is here. And when I was he knew me as a brand new Christian. And, you know, just wanted to be on fire for God every single day. But things would happen and it'd be like all this hell's breaking loose. And I'd stop and I'd be like, wait a second. God promised me never leave me nor forsake me. So where are you, God? So when you're in a situation that's just turbulent in your life, you're in a situation where the circumstances just aren't lining up with good for you. See, God makes everything good in its time, everything good in our life. And the timing of God is activated by our faith. I know that kind of sounds novel. It doesn't sound, it's like, wait a second. I thought God was sovereign. He's sovereign to his promise. Listen to me. See, we triggered the timing of God by the words that we speak and the faith that we have, that we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, begins to trigger healing, deliverance, prosperity, peace, love, joy. It does, and we have to understand that. See, so we ask ourselves, okay, God, you never leave, so you're here. You'll never forsake me. I'll never be a beggar. I'm never going to have to beg a second of my life. Why? Because God's never going to leave me nor forsake me. See, that creates a plumb line for our lives. And now we look at it and think, wait a second. Now I've got a plumb life in my life that in my gaze, for my target, where it's like I can hit that target. Why? Because things are dialed in. And so we look at this and we understand that we're going through something and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Okay, God, where are you? Everything's shaken. Where are you, God? The solid rock of on which I stand. Now, God, I just have to find you. And that's the great thing is Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets the Father except through me. So we go through Jesus. We get to God. Now, we have not because we ask not or we ask amiss. But we have to understand that when we ask, God hears us. See, it's real simple. It's that we seek him and find him. We ask and we have it. We knock and the door is open to us. So what do I have to do? I got to seek him. God, where are you? Okay, now I find him in his word. Now I profess his promise. You guys listening today? This is a now word for us. I'm telling you, this is going to get deep really quickly, so you got to pay attention. Okay? So we look at it. What did Jesus do when circumstances were contrary to him? And see, do you understand he lived with that every single day? Do you understand in the Old Testament there was very little revelation of the devil? So anything that happened, most everybody attributed it to God. Oh, a plague, God. A famine, God. A storm, God. A drought, God. Okay, well, we know better now. We know now the revelation that we have as believers in the new and better covenant is every good and perfect gift comes from above. So now God's good, devil's bad. I have a revelation of the devil. What the devil wants to do is he wants to get you off the mark just a little bit so that if you keep marching, now you miss it by a mile. Just a little bit. See, Paul said, look, I know in part, therefore I preach in part. The idea of this is there's always a missing element. There's always a hidden spot in the equation, and that's where God is. Things that are invisible form what is visible. So what we've got to do is we've got to find this invisible God to our natural senses. And see, in looking at this, I think about what did Jesus do when things were contrary to him? And I go to Mark, the fourth chapter. This story, Mark 4:35 is where it starts. This story in all the synoptic gospels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each of those gospels tell this same story, but they put a little different angle on it. there's a little bit different perspective to it. Okay, but in Mark 4, starting with verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Listen, in life, let me just tell you, the marching orders God's going to give us through his word is cross over. Get to the promise. Get to the promise. It's a race to the promise. It took the children of Israel over 40 years to get to the promised land, and two of them weren't, listen, they didn't just not have the faith to go. They didn't have the fear not to go. Oh, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't have that healing. We can't have that deliverance. We can't have that prosperity. We can't have that peace in our lives. Man, we're like bugs that are going to get squished. See, I believe that's been the deception the enemy's used with God's people forever. See, so we got to look at it, go to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, and you got to think about it, this multitude had the same percentage of idiots that our multitude would have. Like we're thinking, oh my gosh, all these people are just adoring, just loving Jesus. No, there were sociopaths, there were psychopaths, there were thieves, there were people picking people's pockets in the multitude. I mean, you got to understand that. So here Jesus was, this multitude, he said, look, get in the boat, let's get to the other side. So they go to the other side, and when they'd left the multitude, they took Jesus along with them in the boat, and they brought a bunch of other little boats with them. So they caravaned across the water. And a great windstorm, a turbulence that came out of nowhere. See, what's interesting, when wind is referred to in the Bible uses a phrase that most of you guys have heard, that a wind of doctrine. We're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. See, a wind of doctrine is a deception. It's actually something you begin to believe, but you don't know where it originated. Remember, Jesus said, you're trying to figure all this stuff out. You don't even know where the wind comes from. How are you going to figure this other stuff out? And these guys were looking around going, oh my gosh, it is windy. Where does it come from? You know, it's interesting because they came to Jesus and they said, why don't you just lay it out for us? Why don't you just give us the truth? Why don't you just give us the ABC? And Jesus went all Jack Nicholson on them. You can't handle the truth. I mean, it's like I got to tell you stories because you're not prepared to handle it. And that's an interesting comment that he told his disciples. Here's guys that had given everything to him. He's like, no, there's no way you can understand the truth yet. Why? Why would you? Because they're not born again. They're not tuned into God. See, so here they were, this windstorm, this storm that came out of nowhere, all right? How many times has that happened in your lives? And here it happens to Jesus. And the waves, and we look at it and go, God, why am I going through this storm? God, why is this happening? Do you understand what I appreciate about my personal doctrine is I never ask why. Whether it's losing money, whether it's any kind of sickness or disease or anything. Because see, when we ask why about something, we have to do this. When I look back, my eyes off the prize. My eyes off the target. And whatever that is in my past reappears in my present. So what I've got to do now is never look back. What Paul said is, one thing I do, I'm not perfected. I haven't arrived, but one thing I do, everybody say one thing I do, say it again. I forget those things which are behind. It doesn't matter if it was last week, it doesn't matter if it was last month, it doesn't matter if it was 200 or 300 years ago, it doesn't matter, whatever it matters. None of that. What am I doing? I'm like right here and right now, I'm gonna humble myself, I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna seek God's face, I'm gonna turn from my wicked ways, I'm gonna hear from heaven. God's gonna heal my land. It's always moving forward. It's always forward progress. It's always gaining ground, taking new ground. But Jesus was in the stern of the boat. He was asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, and here's what's interesting, and this differentiates Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Mark here, where we're reading, he says, teacher, they said, teacher, don't you know that we're perishing? They didn't say dying. They said perishing. Don't you know our families aren't going to even know what happened because these waves are vehemently hitting this boat. See, there's three, in those three synoptic gospels, the three terms that each of those writers gave, one of them said, which was Mark said teacher. Teacher is, God, what are you trying to teach us? Everything's a teaching moment. That's how Mark looked at it. It's like, okay, this storm's hitting us. Teacher, what are you trying to teach us? Because we're about to perish. Okay, another one is Lord. Lord, we're going to perish. Lord is, hey, sovereign one, meaning this storm must be your will. This storm must be God's will because it's happening and you're here. The other one's master, where it's like commander. We're under your authority. Don't you care? I mean, that's what they're saying. See, so we look at this. We go to verse 39 then. And it says, then he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. See, so it went from being a monumental turbulent time to a great calm like that. See, but notice what Jesus did here. Jesus rebuked. Now, please notice this because this is huge in where we are today. This message, I put this message together weeks ago because it fit into deliverance and that's what I was teaching on. But I'm telling you, it's a now word for us right here and right now today. Because what they were worried about was the waves, the water. It's going to topple our boat. It's going to take us down. We're going to capsize and perish. What Jesus did is he rebuked the wind. He made public humiliation. He dealt with the wind, and then he just said, hush to the waves. Hush, just like that. That's it. And they're looking at it, and Jesus rebuked the unseen, but the waves were vehemently beating against the boat, but he rebuked the wind. See, that's what we have to do in our lives. The wind is deception. A wind of doctrine is something that we've latched a hold of, yet we don't know the origin of it. And here, let me help you, people. This is our world today. We're latching on to things. We don't know where the origin of it. We don't know what the underlying agendas are. What God does in his word, his promise that I'm latching my life to, I know where the origin. I know what God's agenda is. God's agenda is good and not evil to give me a future and a hope. God's purpose in my life is every dadgum thing I put my hand to prospers, and no weapon formed against me ever will. See, that's God's agenda. God's agenda is I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and never beneath. And you'll think, yeah, but I've lost it all. Are you kidding me? We've got to understand with this that, man, the devil, that's the deception of the devil. That's the wind of doctrine that's come into your life is I'm going to lose it all. We're just going to lose it all. Stop thinking that way and talking that way. The Bible says you have the power of death and life in your tongue. And then God said, look, let me give you choose life. He gave you, here's the quiz, life, death or life. Here's the cheat sheet, life. Mark 4:40 said, but he said to them, this is huge. Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly. Now listen, and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? See, they went from obey here is explicitly obey. Like the wind and the sea obeyed him without argument. The wind and the sea obeyed him and didn't get a contrary say. So we look at this and we have to understand that who is this guy? Their fear went from the circumstance to actually fearing Jesus, and not the kind of fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom fear. They were just full of fear. They were gripped with fear. I mean, understand that they went through a hellacious time. But we can't give fear any kind of place. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys were raised in a fearful home or with fearful parents or fearful siblings? How many of you guys have fearful spouses or fearful bosses or a fearful, listen, a fearful underbelly of doctrine that's in your life? Oh, I can't trust anybody. No, the Bible's real clear. Let every man be a liar and the word of God be the truth. I trust who's speaking God's word. My expectation for the people around my life is just what they do. You know why? Because unfulfilled expectations they shred people. So my expectation, it's what James said. You show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. See, we're doers of the word here. Everybody say, I'm a doer of the word. See, we're doers of the word. See, two incredible truths that God's word gives us that equip us to overcome. Listen, no matter what, okay? Neither of these are going to be novel. Both of these are going to be, there's already a platform in your heart. You've heard this before. But the first one comes from Romans 8 and verse 11. Now listen to this, because this is amazing. This brings in a now word for us today. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now think about that. Go back to the other screen. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you know what that does? It triggers the new birth. So now you're alive unto God. But listen, the verbiage changes a little bit. And it goes from Jesus being raised, who dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead. That's not just redundant. He's not just repeating the same thing. Jesus being raised into life in us makes us born again. We're going to heaven. We go from life to life. But Christ being raised from the dead gives life to our mortal situations and our circumstances, the regular things that we go to. So what he's saying here is, look, you've got the here and after covered, but you've also got the now covered. Christ covers the now for us. So the God kind of life is given to us in our natural situations and our natural circumstances and the pitfalls and the storms and the crapola we go through. See, understand that. That Christ was raised from the dead on your behalf, and you were raised with him, and now you're seated in heavenly places with him. With who? Christ. Notice it doesn't say with Jesus. See, it's at the name of Jesus that we're saved. But it's Christ that we live above the fray of the world, above all the battles, above all the torment, that gives us the opportunity to overcome no matter what. Gives life, the God kind of life, to our regular, ordinary, mundane, defeatable life. Do you understand? Me of myself, I'm defeatable. But Christ in me? What is the secret? What's that has been a secret for through the old covenant that becomes real to us now? Listen, Christ in me. The hope of glory. Now listen, that hope isn't the wish of glory. This is the hope that never disappoints. So the hope of glory now never disappoints. So what's the guarantee in my life? Christ in me, glory. Christ in me, glory. So we look at it, the storm hits. What does Jesus do? Jesus rebukes the unseen, which is honestly the wind of doctrine, which is the deception of the enemy. See, what the enemy's going to use, the enemy's going to use lies. Man, a great book. Andy Andrews wrote a book, How Do You Kill 11 Million People? It's a short book. It's a one-hour read, but it boils down to it's how Nazi Germany killed 11 million Jews. How do you kill 11 million people? You know what it boils down to? You lie to them. And if you know what, if that lie is repeated often enough, it's like, oh my gosh, it must be the truth. Oh my gosh, you know what I just heard? Where did you hear that? Oh, it was on the internet. Oh, I guess if it's on the internet, it must be true. No. God's word's the truth. It's not your truth and my truth. It's his truth. I'm not trusting your truth. I'm not trusting my truth. I'm trusting God's truth. See, in the second verse, it's real simple verses. It's three or four of them. It's Mark 11:22, have the faith of God. That's what Jesus said. Have the God kind of faith. How do you have that? Because now we're risen in Christ. Now it's that hope of glory. Man, that's what triggers. That's what activates. See, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and doesn't receive any doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Listen to verse 24. For assuredly, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And then verse 25 says, and if you and as you're standing, forgive everybody of everything. See, unforgiveness is going to stop you. Bitterness is going to rob any joy in your life. Unforgiveness is going to keep you from progressing anywhere in life. See, it's unforgiveness and bitterness, because what those become, that unforgiveness, the seed of unforgiveness creates a root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness chokes off the word, chokes everything out of our lives. See, so we have to look at it now. We think, wait a second, I'm risen with Christ. So now God gives life to my regular, normal, mundane, average human life. I don't live a life of as a human being anymore. I once wasn't a people, now I'm his people. Do you see how all this flows, how all this ties in, how everything now is determined by the truth of God's word, the truth of God's promise? Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. You know why? Jesus rose. Christ rose, and I'm seated in heavenly places with him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Man, look at your life now. Examine your life. Where's their fear? You have to. That fear becomes a mountain in your life. It's a hovering authority in your life that wasn't meant to be there, but you've submitted to it. See, that's all fear is. You're submitting to a lie. That's all it is. You're submitting to deception. Deception's heinous. You know, you'll hear people say, well, yeah, he just lived a double life. How did that happen? Because he got good at deception. See, that's all the devil does. That's what he's marketing, is deception. I tell you, I think right now of the time where the man of God was in the foxhole with his servant, and the servant's freaking out saying, man, we're surrounded. There's no way out. And the man of God said, God, open his eyes that he might see. And the guy lifted his eyes and he saw angelic hosts everywhere. And he turned to the man of God, the servant did, and said, there's more with us than there are with them. Things just changed, but the deception's not going to make you feel like it. Sandy and I went to dinner Friday night, and we saw some pastors here in town, people that we don't see very often. We've known them for years, sweet people. Our paths just don't cross very often, but we saw them Friday, and in the conversation, they were talking a little bit about what's happening in America today, and I said, man, how's church? He goes, oh, my gosh. We have had an inordinate amount of angelic visitations. And I was looking at Sandy and she's looking at me, and I'm like, an inordinate amount of angelic visitations. That's like that. I thought of a story that John Eric, who's a consultant, we hired a few years ago, that he said, I'm going to buy an elephant. He just said that in a meeting, and somebody in the meeting said, you're going to buy an elephant. Why are you going to buy an elephant? He goes, because if you buy an elephant, you always win. I'm thinking, how do you always win? He goes, yeah, somebody said, man, I just bought a new car. Well, good. I own an elephant. You're like, hey, we're going on vacation. Oh, that's cool. I've got an elephant in my backyard. It's like, you always win. So the pastor says, man, we've had an inordinate amount of angelic visitations. I'm like, okay. I really don't know what to say now. But do you understand it's true? There's angelic visitations right now in this service, in your home, wherever you are, in Sky Took and Sepulpa here in Tulsa, that he gives his angels charge over us. Whew. See, the devil gives demons, tries to give demons, and what does he use? He uses fear and deception and confusion for those demons to have charge over us. I say no. What do you say? I say no demons. What do you guys say? I say, I'm not buying lies, I'm not going to be fed with deception, and I'm not going to be confused. When you get this place, when you feel like things are confusing, you know the devil's operating. The Bible says where sin abounds. Where sin abounds, grace so much more abounds. See, it's always, God's got it more than enough. He always, the devil overplays his hand, and guess why? Because God does too. God always overplays his hand. He loves me way too much. He's forgiven me way too much. He's given me way too many passes, way too much leeway. Do you understand this? He's a God of more than enough. Well, the devil's a devil of more than enough. But what he uses is negative. He uses lies. He uses deception. He uses confusion. Oh, this is confusing. Instead of saying it's confusing, whenever you say, man, I'm confused, that's weak. When you want to say I'm confused, you say, man, in my weakness has made its perfect strength. You know what? Instead of saying I'm confused, you say, God, where are you? God, you told me if I seek you, I'll find you. If I ask, it'll be given to me. God, if I knock, the door will be open to me. And I believe it's that simple.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.